Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, May 31st of 2023. And yes, it does feel like June. It's actually May for a few more hours. And then it will be June, but the last few days here, we've been basically flirting with 90 degrees here where I live. Where I live, we actually have burn bans in certain counties, burn restrictions, because we haven't gotten much rain in a little bit. So we got that, and like I said, it's been pretty hot, but nice thing about that is the city pool is opening up in a couple days. And so that's a pretty awesome thing. But ultimately, I do want to thank you for tuning into the broadcast tonight, wherever you may be tuning in, however you may be tuning in, you know, whether you've called in, you know, on your phone, or whether you've managed to tune in online on the website. You know, whether you're using your desktop, I mean your laptop, you know, your tablet, or you're one of those people that decides that it's still cool to use a desktop, which I like to say the desktop is now the dinosaur's computer. I think it is, don't you?
I don't know if I'd say it's the dinosaur, because you got to think a lot of businesses still use them out there.
I mean, for people at their house.
Well, what if they have their own business at their house and they need a little bit more heavy duty than what a laptop can provide?
I feel like a whole lot of people don't really use a desktop unless they're, like, gaming.
You know, they actually have really awesome laptops for gaming now. So, yeah, I guess I can kind of see where you're coming from.
For, like, Gamer Lex?
Yep.
Do you know Gamer Lex or no?
I haven't met her, but I knew she existed.
There's also Tired Lex / Sleepy Lex.
Yes, there is.
There's so many different personalities. I mean, I didn't mean to put anybody on the spot nonetheless, but we're just saying about, you know, somebody we know. But nonetheless, it's so great that you're here, that you've tuned in. Hopefully you're ready to receive something from the Lord, you know, that God wants you to receive, because, you know, everything is in, you know, when you tune into this program, it's not by accident. It's not by accident. You've tuned in, you know, on purpose, and I'm thankful for that. And, you know, but, you know, we do have a pretty cool special day coming up Friday. Friday is National Donut Day.
Woo-hoo!
Yay, I win! And turns out that originally Donut Day became a thing back in the 30s. And, you know, there were different forms of donuts back in, like, the 1700s and 1600s and that. But they weren't the same. They were called artichokes and other things, and they weren't quite the same. They were not quite the same as the real donuts that we know and love today. Donut Day became a thing, you know, throughout, like, the 1900s, and there was these ladies who would be the donut bakers, friars. They would be known as dollies. Donut dollies, and, like, it was known, like, through Salvation Army and other means, other different, you know, stuff like that, and they'd have the different donut dollies, and these dollies were the people who would help make the donuts for the list, you know, and you know, and some of the most popular are the different glazed ones, like whether it be plain glazed, chocolate glazed, you know, strawberry glazed, or blueberry glazed, like something like that. And then there's also different Long Johns. You know, custard Long Johns is another big popular one.
Boston cream pie. So,
like Boston cream pie and other ones like that. But then also there is, you know, the more specialty ones like peanut butter. Peanut butter, one of the best donuts in my mind, because I really like peanut butter donuts, to be honest. That's one of my favorites. Or peanut butter and jelly. You know, the berry ones are great too, but some of my all-time favorite ones are ones that have to do with peanut butter. And I feel sorry for the, I mean, I pray for those who are allergic to peanut butter that I would no longer be allergic to peanut butter. And I don't get why. I still don't understand why such an increase in the amount of people that are allergic to peanuts. Why does it keep going up so fast, so much?
I don't know, but I don't know the scientific answer, but I have a spiritual opinion about that.
What is it?
No, I can't give any verses. It's something that I'd have to do some, you know, research on. But I do believe I recall being told by some elder or leader at one point in time that there was a place in the Bible that spoke on how the human as a like species basically we're gonna constantly deteriorate over time and get more sick and whatnot as the time goes on. I don't know if that's true. Like I said, I don't have the verses to back it up. That's just what I've heard.
I don't know that I believe that. Honestly, I believe, you know, the body of structure will heal. We was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes we were healed. That's the verse that I always stand by is, you know, and this idea that, you know, and obviously I believe the idea that that like the world gets, you know, the events of the world get worse and worse over time. You know, we're in the last days, but I don't know if that means like everybody will get sicker and sicker. I don't know about that part of it.
I think the theory was basically that as sin has entered our lives,
there's been increased evil and all that.
Yeah, increased evil. It's not that we as Christians get sicker. It's that humans, because of that sinful nature, get like their bodies degrade more. Does that make sense? I'm not sure I'm putting it right. Maybe that's something that we can study and bring back to the viewers.
I'd be honestly curious. I'm trying to see. I'm not sure how many verses there are for that. But honestly, honestly, you know, that, and of course, you know, it is true. Here's what is true. You know, back in Genesis, people would live up to 900 and some years and then die. But then, later on, God put, you know, the big thing out there. And he said, now man's days will be 120 years. And that'll be it. Like, that'll be the limit. And so I hear these things in medical research. Somebody said, oh, yeah, we found a way to make humans live 150 years. God made it so that man's days will only number 120 years. So no wonder why I went, huh? Because wrong answer. And I know it's not right answer. Because the truth of the matter is God designed this earth. It'll only be 120 years. I know. I was about the donuts. And not only, you know, there's other different flavors, you know, of donuts. I've even seen hamburgers on a donut using the donut as the bun.
What?
Yes.
Okay, I think I would actually try that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Sausage on one would be better, though, because, get it, and here's why. Because if you were one of those that eats the donuts at breakfast time or near that, or in the morning or whatever, the sweet and salty goes better together.
I agree.
You know,
that'd be pretty yummy if you think about it.
It would. It would. That might actually be better than the burger donut.
I think you're right.
Because
especially if it was like maple sausage.
Yes. Yeah, like that, and like all, you know, delicious, and it's and of course, you know, it's in between the glazed donut, and you know, or it'd be different if it was on a peanut butter donut. That'd be different, but you know, on a glazed donut, it would be pretty good, like a cinnamon glazed donut, or maple glazed donut, or something like that. Either way, go find yourself a good donut on National Donut Day. Try to avoid, you know, inferior places like Tim Hortons, Walmart. No, I didn't say Walmart was inferior. I said their donuts were inferior. The Meijer, Kroger, grocery store donuts.
Who would you recommend for donuts?
Oh, like, you know, like the Gourmet Cupcake Shop, like Ace, who gets donuts from Cops and Donuts. Cops and Donuts, this place in Bridgeport that I like, it's called Buttercross Bakery, you know, those kind of places, not just, you know, Meijer, Walmart. Because in my mind, at least, those aren't the real donuts. I mean, okay, they are, but they're nowhere near as good. At least to me, they're not. They're just not the same.
I think on Donut Day, we should get one donut from every donut place around and then rate them. Although we might get sick if we did that.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. I would love our stomachs to be like infinite donut shaped.
That'd be funny.
For donut day. Just for this one day. To be shaped like a donut. And the main thing it wants on donut day? Donuts. because I think donuts, you know, honestly they didn't come from up in heaven, but you know, I like to think they were, you know, somehow. But, you know, and I like to tease, you know, and I like to ask, you know, are there donuts in my heaven? And honestly, I do think there are donuts in my heaven, in heaven. You know, and Jesus told us, in my Father's house are many mansions. So I like to say, you know, that in my mansion, I like to say that that means there's my mansion. And I always feel like in my mansion, you know, there's wonderful donuts. For me, in heaven, for me, I want my donuts to be fresh, hot off the belt, like hot out of the fryer.
That sounds absolutely delicious.
An extra gooey, you know, and something about it would just make it seem extra fantastic, you know, just right off the belt. And my friend, that is. Eat that thing and go, yes. You know, I'm be like, you know, and then when I taste that, you know, then I'll know that I have also, that I've earned the next part of the prize, which is heaven. That I've earned another piece of the prize of heaven, you know. Then I'll know, you know. And then I give one of my donuts to Jesus, and I'm sure he loves it. If he doesn't approve, I'd be like, why? If he doesn't approve of yours, would you want to know why?
Why?
Would you want, if he did not approve of your donut making, if you were making donuts in heaven, and he did not approve of your donut, would you want to know why?
I would.
You'd want to know why? Or if he said, well, I like so-and-so's donut better.
Oh, that'd be heartbreaking.
I'd be like, what? Why? You should love them all equal. Because you love us all equal. Because you loved us. Because the truth of the matter is he loves us all equal. And, you know, because he really does love us all equal. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't. Doesn't matter how your team did either in sports. You know? And about sports, I will say this. If God truly were to be the one picking the sports teams to win their games, the Los Angeles Angels would win the World Series every single year. You know what else? In football, the Saints would win the Super Bowl every single year.
Every single year.
That doesn't mean, you know, that he has problems with you liking it. And I'm sure, you know, he, you know, but you ought not make anything on earth your idol. You ought not make anything on earth your idol. Jesus said not to. God said not to. Anything you put in front of God is an idol to you. Anything. Even if it's your own children. Then you have to repent for your child idolatry. And you don't want that. And so, and even if you're really trying to idolize a certain person, don't love somebody more than what you love, you know, your Jesus. Don't. But anyhow, I'll just try to.
Try again. 6:47 p.m.
But any housekeeping, a couple quick things that I want to remind you of real quick before I get into a couple songs. And the first thing I want to remind you of is about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been and, you know, how he's always been there for me and how he brought me through, you know, different things that I was dealing with, because when I was very little, I went through tons of different medical stuff at such an extremely young age, but Jesus was there. And yeah, Jesus was there, and Jesus saw us through. He really did. And I would have more than likely been dead without him. I would have more than likely been dead for quite a long time without her. Doctors told my mom that I would likely not be able to carry myself past 8, and that I would extremely likely die by age 12. That's what they told us. When I was super little, I didn't remember him saying that to my mom, but my mom told me many years later, but God's on the throne, and God has us in his hands, and some of you might be going through life, and you might be thinking, well, I went through this and 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 blah, 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 and my kids and my blah, 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 blah. And but God brought us through. But God made a way when it seemed like there was no other way. He always finds a way to make a way when it seems like there is no way. I mean, he parts seas when it seems like it can't be parted. But he does it. Why? Because he loves us. That's why. And he's been very faithful to my family. And So I thank God for his hand on my life. I really do. And so I want to encourage you to buy the book, Rivers of Miracles. You'll be glad you read it. I want that book. I really hope that that book can increase your faith. I want that book to increase your faith. I really do. I pray that it will increase your faith. Amen. And I know that he can increase your faith. And guess what? You can go online to the website to buy the book. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, last name, Shukla, riversofmiracles.com, Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com, to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how the book can be a blessing for you. Because I want you to read the book. I really do. I really want you to read the book. And not just, so you have something to read. I want you to read the book because I want you to get the story and be able to understand, that whatever it is you go through in this life, he is faithful. He is able. Amen. And so I know that he will do what he said in his word, that he would do. Amen. So, the other thing I want to remind you about is about PayPal and sowing your seed into PayPal. Again, I want to thank Laura from here in Michigan who has sowed twice in the last 2 months. Thanks for that, Laura. And then the other thing I want to, also want to give a shout out to Natalia for your seed that you bring in and sowing your seed. And I always pray over not only those seeds, but I pray over you. And I pray that God just move on your behalf, and that he does for you whatever it is that you believe in for him to do in your life. And so, and just, keep standing on the word of God. Standing on the word of God. That's what you just should keep doing, standing on the word. And so, to sow your seed in the Miracle Man program, you can go online to paypal.com, and in the search bar, you type in Rivers Shukla. That's my name. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Okay, Rivers. The last name, Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. There's two things I want you to keep in mind. The first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. The other thing I want to remind you of is that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. So please, if you would, just make a note of that. So just make note of that, if you would. I don't know why it's making a little bit of static noise. Oh, good, I got it to stop. Good. Sorry about that. Just making sure everything was good. That's all. But, so, And there's a the verse I want to give unto you tonight is where it says, therefore my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It's according to his riches and glory, not some other data, not some economic stuff, none of that stuff. It's according to his riches and glory that he supplies your needs. And so I thank God for that. And so now I want to sing a couple songs. And then after that, I want to pray real quick and then get into the word of the Lord. And tonight I want to talk, I'm going to talk about, you know, just touching the hem of Jesus' garment. We're going to deal with the woman with the issue of blood and what happens there. It's going to be about being able to touch the hem of his garment. Amen. So it's going to be powerful. So I want you, if you would, to turn on song number one, There is Joy. So. Oh.
Sorry.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who holds the victory. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God. You hold the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Whoa, 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 we sing to the God who was, we sing to the God who is, we sing to the God who holds the victory. He hung on that cross, he rose on the third day. My God, who holds the victory, yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Our God is on earth. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were givers, now we're running free. We are accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're running royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are living, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Yeah! There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Our God is on the throne. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Our God is on the throne. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Whoa, 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 whoa. We shout out your praise. Whoa, 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 whoa. We shout out your praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, for song to you, please, if you would. Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. To heaven, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. No matter, nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. To be the center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every tongue, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, the center of it all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you'll turn it on, three. give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Yes, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Yes, I do. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. And a living sacrifice. Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. Yes, I do. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, and I live with Christ. Oh Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. Yes, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Yes, I do. I give myself away so you can use me. Life is not my own, so I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you Can you me give myself away? Yes, I give myself away so you can use me. Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give ourselves to you, Jesus. This song is all about giving ourselves to you. And I thank you, Lord God, that we would do that in our own lives, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are our God. Thank you that we would have a personal relationship with you. And I thank you, Lord God, that we would just understand what it means to be we would just know what it means to be saved. We would truly understand and not just think we know, but we would actually know what it means. That we would realize that we are, in fact, a living sacrifice. Not a dying one, a living one. And I pray, Lord God, that we would all realize this. I thank you, Master, that as we study your word tonight, that these people will have ears to hear and hearts that are ready to understand, and that our minds would be receptive, that they would just be totally receptive to your word tonight. And thank you, Lord God, that you are calming these storms that just rage in our lives. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that and for what you're doing in each one of these people that has tuned into this program, regardless of where they've tuned in from. I just know that you have a plan for them. And I know that you are moving on their behalf. And I thank you, Jesus, for that and for what you're doing in their life. In the name of Jesus. And now, I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program. Thank you that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this program. In Jesus' name, amen. Listeners, if you got your Bibles with you, whether you have a Bible, you know, like the old Bible, like where you turn the pages, or you got a device with an app, a Bible app on it. You kicked my feet. Sorry. Whether you got, the Bible in book form, or you've got it on an app on your device. I want you to turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Mark 5. Where you've got Mark 5, we're going to be getting with verse 1. And you see here, you'll see there's two different miracles that he does in this chapter. But the one I'm going to teach on tonight is the second one, the one I'm going to teach on, just being able to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. But we're going to start with verse 1, and I want to encourage you, wherever you are, be a part. Pay attention. I pray, you pray. As I study, you study. And pay attention. Don't just be sitting there, writing down your grocery list of what you got to pick up for your kids because they just got out of school or they're about to get out of school in a couple of days or weeks or whatever, depending on where you live. Okay. Oh, I lost that mouth. Turn with me to Mark 5, verse 1. I hope I've given you enough time to get there. And if you're not there, then just catch up. I'll begin with verse 1. And they, meaning Jesus and the disciples, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you will not torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?"
"My name is Legion,"
he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go unto them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were so excited, and they clapped and shouted and praised God. Wait. Oh, I'm sorry. See, we read that. Well, different. And they saw the man who had been possessed by the demons sitting there dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Sometimes, listeners, I do that because I want to see if you folk are paying attention or not. That's why I do that. And they were dressed in his mind, and he was afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. And the people again began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him go, but he said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Verse 21, next passage. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was at the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his cloak, I shall be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" Verse 31. "You see the people crowding around me," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe." "Why did you say that again, Miracle Man?" "I said just believe again because sometimes you might have gotten a bad medical report, but you got to be able to just believe and go like, you know, I heard what they said, but you know what? I have faith in Jesus the healer." Chaos 37. He did not let anyone follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? Really? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. And it says in parentheses, she was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. you something to eat. You know, when I was little and I'd hear this story, you know, on the, you know, on those Bible cassette tapes, you know, when I was like 7, I was hearing that. Well, I would hear it when I was younger, like, you know, 4, 5, 6. But I'd be thinking, when I would think something to eat, I said, I would picture a nice big piece of pizza. Pepperoni pizza. Even though I know they didn't have pizza at that time, but I'd be thinking, you know, a nice big slice of pizza. Make it 2 big slices of pizza, actually, you know, with, you know, pepperoni, sausage, cheese, maybe a tiny bit of mushrooms, but barely any, if any at all. But, you know, some cheese, if you please, sausage, pepperoni. Maybe make it 3 meat and go with ham also. And one of the best pieces you'll ever eat in my mind. And just go ahead and eat the thing. But honestly, this woman, this synagogue ruler sees that it's Jesus, goes up to Jesus and says, please, I need you to pray over my daughter. She's bleeding. She's been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Turns out she had spent all of her money on medical care, all of it. All she did was grow worse. Of course, in that day, there were not all the specialists that there are now today. You could not go to U of M, University of Michigan, Mayo Clinic, Johns Hopkins, or anywhere else, you know, any of the highly acclaimed hospitals of America. Couldn't go to them. You know, they didn't exist. They didn't have the technology, you know, like we do now, to deal with different things like what they have now. But Jesus, it was Jesus, and so this woman does something very brave. She goes out there in front of all those people, tons of people. Imagine there's probably a few thousand there. She has the faith. That's right, I said faith, not audacity, faith, to go all the way up there, try to find her way through all those people, through all that madhouse. I mean, I love me a good crowd, honestly. I know I'm different from a lot of people. I love me a good crowd. But honestly, you know, she had to work. She probably had to work her way through tons and tons of people and get up there. And she looks around trying to find him. And she has this thought in her mind, you know what it is? If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. If all I do is just touch the hem of his garment, that's it. She touched the hem of his garment, and then she gets healed right then, right there. And so Jesus is looking around after she touches his garment, and he's asking, who touched my clothes? Because he noticed that power had gone out from him. You know what that power was? Healing power that went in her body. That's what it was. It was healing power that went into her body. Folks, what I read to you was not from some silly made-up thing. It happened. It's the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, it is. Yes, that's what it is. It's the Bible. This happened. And so, you know, he goes, you know, to go around to investigate. And so he goes, you know, there's people, certain people are telling him, oh, the child's dead. Why even bother the teacher? Why even bother? So they go to Jairus' house. They go to Jairus' house, and Peter, James, and then James's brother. They go in the house, and there's all this wailing there. They're crying. And he's basically saying, you know, she's not dead. She's only asleep. She's only asleep. And honestly, the way I see it, when she had been struggling with bleeding for 12 long years, you know, probably felt good to have a sleep without all that bleeding going on. So she was probably, you know, so she was sleeping. And so they go find her, the girl, and they find out, you know, and they're like, and then he says to her, little girl, I tell you, get up. She gets up, walks around by him, and she knows in her body that she's healed. And she's not sitting there like some people might think and go, I don't feel healed. You know? You know, we should be saying of ourselves, you know, by his stripes we were healed. I'm believing for my eyesight to be restored. I know that when he died on the cross, my healing took place. I know it's there. I'm believing for that eyesight to come back in the name of Jesus, to be made manifest, for my body to line up with what the Word of God says. And I know that it will be done for me, as I have said throughout my life. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. Wounded. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement. And with his stripes, we were healed. Not partway. Not, oh, I wish I could be healed. But by his stripes, I was healed. As in, it was done. Like Jesus said on the cross, it is done. Part of what he means is, part of what he means there when he said it is done, part of what he meant there is that healing was already done. That deliverance was already done. That miracle that you believe in God for, it's done. Now you got to be in that receiver mode. Be ready to receive it. Receive it. And so she, now this is that dad knows about Jesus. And he tells her. And she just, and, you know, that thought of getting up to his garment. You know, you say, how do we touch his garment now? Part of that means, you know, you go up to the altar in your local church. You go up to the altar and pray. You seek his face. You go up to the altar and worship your God. We do that at my church. Not every church does. My church, we do. And it's a means of getting close to Him. That's what it's about. We do the little hand thing like this, and sometimes put your hands out like He's giving you something, and you just receive, from Him what it is that He has for you. Because she has that thought in her brain, all I have to do is just touch His cloak. Now we made it well. And then He comes around to her, when He comes back to her, and He finds her, he tells her, to be in peace. And he says, not to tell other people what had happened. I don't know why do you think it was that He would tell people not to tell? And then other times He would say, go home to your family and tell everybody.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I wonder why. I wonder. Do you think He would say don't tell because He had to go other places to teach also?
That might be. Maybe He didn't want the word spreading so that you could move on to the next place more quickly. Because if others had heard, Jesus just rose this little girl from death, I bet a lot of people would have flocked to Him and He wouldn't have been able to go to the next place God had told Him to.
Amen. And I honestly believe that, honestly. I really do. There's another place in your Bible where it says, and all He could do was only heal a few people because of their doubt and unbelief.
Yep, isn't that in John?
Yep, someone there. Yep. He could only do a few miracles because of the people's lack of faith and unbelief.
Right.
And I've heard it before where pastors jokingly said, well, now we can actually have church because of the doubt and unbelief left. I think it's funny, hey, the doubt and unbelief all left, so now the faith is here. Yay!
Right.
It's like, because sometimes, when there's all kinds of doubt and unbelief, it just, but I don't have doubt. And that woman didn't have this, she could have, because she had been suffering, for 12 years. She was 12 years old. So basically she had been suffering her whole life. She didn't know what it was like to not suffer. She didn't know. She didn't know what it was like not to suffer. And he decides, to find Jesus. And obviously she hears about Him somehow. By He, I mean Jairus, that synagogue ruler. Because
mm-hmm.
These synagogues are these places where Jesus would go and preach. Sometimes He'd go in these synagogues. And they were a little bit different maybe than our modern churches today, because we see in Acts, it was basically the start of what we call the church. It was the beginning, essentially, of the church and people being saved and people being born again, spirit-filled. And that's where we get words born again, spirit-filled. Even though Jesus said in John, you must be born again. In the book of John, literally, He says you must be born again. What that's referring to is we have to be born again. You have to at least know Jesus as our Lord and Savior in order to go to heaven. And it's true. We do need to be born again in order to be able to go to heaven to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And but Jairus, he just goes up to him, and Jesus says, "Yes, I will." And he, I wonder if he knew whether or not he was, you know, he was like, I'm sure he didn't, maybe he didn't know for sure if she would totally be, you know, just totally free of all the suffering. He thought, well, at least maybe she'll be able to live. But he didn't just heal part way and just make it so she could maybe live, but she would suffer a lot. No. Because my God isn't, our God is not a part-way God. He doesn't go and say, well, only deal with it part-way. Only heal it part-way. Nope. He doesn't deal part-way. He heals fully. He didn't part the Red Sea partially and then leave the rest of the sea the way it was. Nope. He totally parted the sea. The God I serve totally parted the sea.
Amen.
He, not just partially. He totally did. He heals part way. I mean, he heals fully. I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean he heals part way. He heals fully, fully, fully. He does not heal part way. Fully, because I was going to say, I meant to say, you know, he didn't part the sea part way, all the way. You know, part the sea partly. Oh, that's why I got messed up, I'm sure. No, I do not believe bad doctrines. You know, doctrines that aren't biblical. And this kind of stuff, like where people might say, oh, he might only heal partway. You know, I'm not sure if he wants me to be free. I'm not sure if he wants me to prosper or not. I guess he just wants me to stay broke. I guess maybe he doesn't want to help me, you know, have a great mind. And, you know, I'm not sure if he wants me to do good in school. No. He wants you to be successful. He wants you well. He loves you. He cares about you. That means he wants the best for you. Not second best or third best or worst. Nope. He wants the best for his children. Yes, he does. And so I thank God for what he's done in my life. And for what, not only for what he has done, but for what he's doing right now, for what he's going to do. And you'll see when you read my book, if you haven't read it yet. I didn't write it, but I know the author real well who wrote it, but I only say my book because I promote it. But you'll see in there, you know, we sought God. We prayed to God. Even when I was too young to understand this prayer stuff and this healing stuff. My mom knew about it. And she was able to pray. Dr. Buckley was there for her. And ultimately it was Jesus. Ultimately. Dr. Buckley helped her a lot. And he learned. She learned through him how to stand on the Word of God. And of course, she's learned through him that we can win battles. You know, she's proven to him that we can win battles. Even I have, because there's been battles that I've won. And you know, there's a motto. Maybe you've heard it on this program before. Maybe you haven't. The victory is always greater than the battle. That victory that they got there in that House of Jairus, that victory was greater than the battle, than that 12-year-long battle. And, you know, and all those people are in the house moaning, groaning. It's like they're having that funeral inside the house. They're having the funeral. It's almost like as if they were almost getting ready to have the funeral when she's not dead. All she was sleeping. Which the way I see it, she totally had the right to do. And then, of course, Jesus goes in there and says, you know, Talitha Kuma, which means, I say to you, get up. And so she gets up, and they have something to eat. And I'm sure it was not pizza, even though there was, even though, you know, if it was in this day and age, I'd be like, there better be pizza. It's time to party. And in my mind, it's like, there better be pizza. Really nice big pizza. And I'd be like, and you know what? If I was there to witness it, I'd be like, do I get a slice? And I'd try to, that would be one where I would almost have to struggle not to make something out and be like, I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten like a day and a half. I'm hungry. Can I please have the first slice? Would you try to do something like that? I'm hungry.
Yeah, probably.
I'd be like, I'm hungry. I need a slice of that pizza. Is it the kind of pizza that I really want?
Can I have some ranch on the side, please?
You want ranch on the side of your pizza?
Ooh, I love ranch with my pizza.
Mine, I just have pizza sauce on it. Ranch for me is for the breadsticks, if I have breadsticks.
I'll eat ranch with just about anything but donuts.
No ranch on the donuts, amen. Well, yeah, because that is a savory, not a sweet.
Exactly.
Ranch is a savory, not a sweet.
I'll even eat ranch on my spaghetti.
That can be good.
Oh, so yummy.
And of course on your McNuggets.
Of course.
Yeah, of course on your McNuggets or your nuggets from wherever else that you might have. Got it. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would have it in us to just be able to touch the hem of your garment, to just, you know, seek you, and just, you know, to just be able to, you know, just be able to, you know, and we need your help to just be able to say that we can touch your hem. All you do is touch his cloak and be healed. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to our bodies to be healed in the name of Jesus. I pray right now that migraine headaches would leave us in the name of Jesus. I pray that osteoporosis would leave us in the name of Jesus. That sugar diabetes would leave us alone in the name of Jesus. That dementia would leave us in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for chronic heart stuff would leave us in the name of Jesus. And kidney failure and organ failure and all these other, you know, different failures of body, that they would leave us in the name of Jesus. That we are healed, we are whole because of you. You made a way for us when it seemed like there was no other way. I thank you, Jesus, that you're making a way right now and that you are the God that makes us stronger. I pray that our feet to be well. I thank you for our legs and our joints in them to be well. I pray for our arms to be well. I pray for our stomachs to be well, and our pancreas, and for our hearts, and also for you know, our hands to be well, you know, for our ears to be well. Thank you for our back, our spine to be well, and our different and everything else in our bodies to be well and be healed in the name of Jesus, from the top of our soul, the top of our head, to the soles of our feet, that will be healed in your name. Because by your stripes, Jesus, we were healed. And I thank you, Master, for that. In your matchless name, amen and amen. And now, Master, amen and amen and amen. And now, listeners, real quick, Tigers fell to the Texans, to the Texas Rangers yesterday, 10-6 at Comerica Park. They will try, they're trying again tonight. And hopefully they'll get some more wins over the course of the weekend. Cabrera did have a pretty good outing. He went 3 out of 4. At least 3 times he got on base. And so, good for him. That was pretty cool for him. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no murderer, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, flood, or crash, none of this evil stuff will come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. And I sure love you. And until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.